This season of Perf Bites is brought to you by Hewlett-Packard Enterprise. HPE has the expertise and solutions you need to transform your business or government and change the world. Learn more at hpe.com. Hewlett-Packard Enterprise, accelerating next. And Flood.io. We sort out the infrastructure so you can spend more time testing. Flood.io is load testing simplified. Learn more at www.flood.io.
It's time for Perf Bites.
What the f*** is Perf Bites?
The fourth square meal of the day. Don't bogart the Perf Bites. F*** waffles. Microwave ready. Add nutritional value to your brain.
Right up, jackalope.
It's time for Perf Bites with your hosts, Mark Tomlinson, James Pulley, and Howard Chorney.
Perf Bites.
Whatever.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Welcome.
Welcome. It is time for Perf Bites. We are live. Once again, we have. How many times have we been live at STPCon?
I could count them, but I've had a beer, so it probably would wind up the wrong number.
So your measurement is not accurate
at all.
Well,
how about we just say a boatload of times?
It's a boatload of time. It was in San Diego. We were by the marina, and there were boats, so that
there
was a boatload of time.
Yeah. Hey, we're kind of by the bay here.
We're kind of near the bay here, but I don't see any boats. There are palm trees behind us.
We were in Framingham in the fall, and there are boats in Boston Harbor.
It was very snowy there.
Oh, no kidding. There were 6 inches of snow on the ground the day I left.
Yes. I'm going to bring up the chat here. It says I should say something. What do you guys want to say on the live chat here? Anyone? Tony, what do you want to say in the live chat?
STPCon's a blast.
STPCon is a blast. You guys give a big shout-out. Woo-hoo! Yes! Awesome.
Button works really well.
Wasn't that good?
Yeah.
The thumbs up is actually a really, really wonderful thing. For those of you that do know the show or those of you that don't know, our format is, somewhat loose, I think is the right way to say it, right? Very, very loose. But we have these favorite things we do. So just to give you a little introduction on the format for tonight's show, as we talked about, we are going to, as usual, pass the microphone around and invite you to share a testimonial specifically about a performance, something you learned at the conference, something you really liked, something that got you angry and you want to, you know, you maybe write a rebuttal. You're animated about
angry at the conference,
passionate, a perf rant. We have this thing called a perf rant where you can pick up the mic and just scream and yell. It's a wonderful thing. So shout out to Gwen, who was there at Test Bash recently, gave a wonderful perf rant after Test Bash about our favorite topic, online ticket sales. Speaking of online ticket sales, James.
Yes.
What's the one segment we love the most?
The news of the damned.
You love the news of the damned? You know the news of the damned. So we'll have that section probably at the bottom of the hour here, which will be really, really good. So welcome. We don't have... we've had a couple ideas on specific topics, but mostly I think we're going to sort of start things off.
Free-flowing.
In terms of topic, if you didn't hear totally clearly through the announcement, my name is Mark Tomlinson. My co-host here, Howard Chorney, is here. Works at Sosta, but has worked at many other companies for many, many years. Right?
Yes.
So thank you again to Sosta for... you see their sign right there, performance and everything.
We even have the Sosta banner right there.
Yeah, exactly. And last but not least, well, definitely not least, Mr. James Pulley at the very end of the table here.
Yay.
James is... and if you didn't know, we've been announcing and just doing some extra work this year. Both Howard and James have picked up sub-shows. So we have the Performance Engineering Cafe that Howard's working on. Is a one-on-one interview style. And diving into different stuff. He's still working on some episodes for that. And James is pretty much single-handedly taking on the news of the damned, which means...
It's a big damned job.
It's a big damned job.
But not only that, James, we're doing those wonderful live news of the damned broadcasts.
Yes.
Live news of the broadcast. Yeah. I can tell you online, because oftentimes there's a whole new recording console we have here. And so Tim Western, Vertex. Remember Tim Western? Anyone know Tim?
Yes.
Tim's fantastic. You know Tim. Yes, he was in Framingham with us.
Yes.
I love this great story about Tim. James and I were headed over to the applause, when we're reception of the applause. Remember that? And we hadn't met him. And there was this weird little... James and I are... No one in testing is a rock star, even though you get a little bit of a feeling of that. And Tim jumped in the car, in James's car, and he's like, I can't believe I'm in the car with the Perf Bites guys. It was just weird. I was like, that's weird. This just feels a little funny. It's like a little rock star moment, right, James? Like,
well, you were sitting a little close to him in the back seat, which was really odd.
I'm a huggy kind of guy.
Yeah.
You know that about me. I am. And Mr. Load Tester himself, Scott Moore, is online with us listening as well. So the one good thing I can tell you is that apparently our signal is being broadcast out on the internet very well. Which is really, really nice. And I'm just going to give a shout-out to Scott Moore on his behalf. I'm actually drinking the Octomore Islay Barley release. it's a Brulati for Progressive Hebridean Distillers. If you want to actually try a taste of this, 67.5% by volume alcohol. Very strong, very smoky. So if you want to try this, you know, come after the show. We'll check that out.
And as Mark keeps sipping it during the show, it could get even more interesting.
I'm sipping single malt scotch out of a wine glass, and it seems to be working for me.
Is there a difference on what kind of vessel that you drink the scotch from?
Yes. Yes, there is. I don't know. It's more. It's sort of like refined, but Scott turned me on to Brulati a long time ago. That was really great. So I'm just going to kick things off with the first story. I'm going to do my own story. I can't win the shoes, but I do want to say a shout-out. Is Quincy here somewhere? Quincy's here. And Kushel, right? Kushel's here. And who else? I can't see if anyone else was here in the performance puzzler class. These are my two. Oh, so I just give a round of applause to these two gentlemen right here. And Andy was there in the beginning, but you know, you're kind of a veteran. We've done performance puzzlers, and this is my story, one of the most favorite things. We do a one-hour session. Actually, you were in the first performance puzzler. Quincy was there in the first one as well. So there are some people that have been through the puzzler, and it's a very fun, intense, infuriatingly frustrating kind of thing. This is the first time at SDBCon we took this puzzler format and turned it into a half-day workshop. And so these are the first part of the team of the first two people. Who actually survived 3 hours of puzzlers.
You tortured them for 3 hours?
Did you get a T-shirt for this?
I think I ought to go for that. I think I do owe you a T-shirt for
that. Did they at least get stopped?
It was. They actually got a one break, I think, really. But we went even over into lunch. Give them a stop. Excellent.
Oops.
There you go. They're getting some stopwatches. Believe me, these stopwatches, they just grow on trees. It takes time, but you can measure it. So
it reminds me of the old. Those stopwatches remind me of the old days.
They are the old days.
They
because,
are the old days.
You know, nostalgia goes.
When you used to have 50 people in the room saying 1, 2, 3, hit the keyboard.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So We had a really fun time doing the puzzler format, and I think we might ask to do that again as a half day. Half day was enough. I mean, we could have kept going, but we probably would have died. Before the end of the day. So my shout-out to you guys, thank you very much for coming to the Performance Puzzler. I can't really say it's my favorite session. It's really my favorite session because I did it. But it was so different. It was so awesome. I'm glad it worked. So that was really fun. Andy, you were there. If you can get the mic from Tony, do you want to give a commentary on what you thought happened there?
Well, I can say I survived because I left after 1.5 hours.
So, no stopwatch for you. No stopwatch.
No, I wanted to stay longer, but I had to leave, unfortunately, for some other stuff.
Yes, but
I loved it. And I hope we hear some of the stories that I missed, actually. Is that what you're telling?
Yeah, so I'm not stealing their thunder. They can still, you know, basically get on the mic and get mad at me about the thing about the garbage collection that was not, that was bad. No,
but what I want to say, obviously, I've done puzzles before, and we did one. Last year at Perform, and we had like 120 people in there.
120 people.
It was a little bit too much, almost.
It was way too big.
Yeah. So I think the format that we had this week was much better. Smaller group, cool examples. And even though I consider myself as a performance expert, I struggled a lot. So thanks for the examples.
Very, very good. Awesome.
Thank you for sharing.
The other, and we may get into some more serious topics, but I'm going to hand it off to you guys. Is there anything, Howard, on the top of your brain? You just flew in last night, and performance is today, and here you are. What do you think?
Do I have a topic?
Got something digging in your brain that you just have to talk about?
No, not really.
Okay, good. Pass it on to James, then.
Oh, it's for me now. Okay.
I just put the pressure on you so I can think a little more.
There you go.
Okay. I mean, STPCon has got a good family feel to it at this point, since we've been here so often.
Just like the performance engineering community.
The performance engineering community, we're all huggers.
We're all hunters.
Have you noticed that?
Yes. It's very Middle Eastern.
Yeah, we see each other conferences. It's just like Creed. Big bear hugs.
Carlos.
You can't get away from
Carlos from Lebanon. You know, they're very huggy in Lebanon.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
You know, James never used to hug.
That's right, yeah.
Now he does.
Yeah, don't that thing.
Yeah, but I don't say bless your heart at all.
No.
That does. You too. Claire does.
Yes. Exactly.
That right. That must be that 1% cheesehead, which is my mother's side of the family. You know, I just can't say it.
Yeah. Whether you knew this or not, Perf Bites, we've now sort of called ourselves in season 5. We're on about episode 75. And we started in 2012, James and I did, and it used to be a live call-in show. So that's the fun part of this format, is we actually have live participation, and we even have people like Tim and Scott online and that. So it's sort of a send-back for us to the original format of the Perf Bites show.
And then you just made a big mistake in 2014.
Things have been downhill since we added Howard beginning of 2015, I think it was. Yes.
Well, I was in that.
No, you were in Denver with us at SDCon.
That's right. That was my
yes, that's right.
Inaugural broadcast.
It was very good. Now, in season 5, we are thankfully, I think there is the right term, we're thankfully sort of giving themes that keep us on track. As you can tell, we just ramble and talk about anything that really comes. And then you ask Howard, and he's like, I don't know anything. So I think
that's the Octomore
tools.
Speaking.
Yeah. So the focus of our season 5 has been tools. We've been talking about new tools. So one of the first brave new tools was the recent episode we did. And we're talking about new techniques that go with new tools. The one that's in the can that I'm still working on is called What's Missing. Sort of if you had the ideal tool, you know. And we have Eric's here, the product manager from SOSTA here.
Sitting there listening. It's like, what's missing? Can I get an advanced copy of that?
Yeah, what's missing?
Yeah, Eric, I'll get that to you right away.
It's all of the things that that we probably complain about, but we never get our tools to do. And that brings me to sort of continuing the tool topic. If we do a little bit, and I'll give it back to James, because it still begs the question, just briefly, are your tools working for you? That was the question.
Yes. Are they valuable? Are they working for you? You know, that's a loaded question.
We're sitting
at a conference where I'm looking at vendor signs coming out of a ballroom right now.
Microsoft. And a Smart Bear hat.
You know, Sauce Labs. Are tools valuable?
Well, of course they're valuable.
Yeah. I've never been one to shy away from a question. So how do I answer this?
James, how do you answer that?
Yeah, that's a very good question, Mark. It really doesn't matter how poor or how great your tool is if the pilot sitting at the helm doesn't have the skills to use it. On the other hand, take a Formula One driver and place them in a Trabant, and they will probably lap you at most racetracks. So
Are you saying it's the driver versus the vehicle?
Formula One drivers. It's a performance show.
Yeah, so I'm going to flip this model and say it's not necessarily the tool. It's the tool user that we need to have the question of value on. Because let's face it, if you're a skilled performance tester, you are fairly flexible on migrating from tool to tool, and you are able to achieve value. On the other hand, if you've been dumped into the performance role or socially promoted or forklifted or however you want to say it, and said you are now the performance person, go home, watch YouTube videos overnight, and you will lead this effort, which I actually observed that conversation taking place.
It's also very unfair.
It's very unfair to that person. It's very unfair to the stakeholder.
Right.
The tool is not able to deliver value at all in that context.
So look, it's just I work for a tool vendor. It's just a tool, but a tool does not a performance tester make.
Oh, yes, and
Yoda.
And I will say that the thing that is
help you, I will with your tool.
Okay, so
your
so,
tool valueless is unskilled one.
So I want to give a shout out to the company that Howard works for, SOSTA. The thing that has differentiated SOSTA in the market more than anything else is they're happy to sell you the tool, but most often they're selling you the value. They're selling you the output of the tool on the professional services side, including the personnel that have the skills to use the tool, and the analysis on the output. And that has been a huge differentiator for SOSTA in the marketplace, rather than just dumping a tool and saying, you know, any fill-in-the-blank analyst can go and use this and be successful.
As we like to say, we sell you the car and the driver, and what I like to add, and we give you the GPS also.
Oh, the, you know, Hertz still charges you for that, don't they? Wasn't that the any lost?
You mean
certain, never lost?
Certainly
or,
lost.
Or as we frequent
always lost. Always
as
lost.
We frequent yeah. Hertz, so yeah, renters call it the never found.
The free never found. do you have a rebuttal on this? It, just continuing from the SOSTA perspective, or just your because you and I worked at Shunra.
I have no rebuttal on this. It's spot on. It's. And, you know, it's
no, notice how I definitely sidestepped that whole do tools have value thing.
Do tools add? They
tools actually have, they absolutely add value. You need
you
a tool
use them
to
otherwise.
Do right. You need a tool to do a job, right? You're not going to bang in nails with your fist or a rock. You're
well, some
get a
people
hammer.
Might. Some people might.
And
some
then
people.
Let's look at the outcome of how that wrench. Little building's going
to. Some
wind
people
up
use J meter to do giant automatic deployments using J meter. That's really smart.
Oh yeah, and we know where that. You know where people like that wind up.
No.
News of the damned.
News of the damned. So my rebuttal on this, being a former PM myself and a guy that picked up every other tool that there was, everyone has that dusty copy of something. And you go to one company and it's tool X, it's monitoring solution Y, and it's like in the small town, and I started testing in Minneapolis, which believe it or not, in testing was a really small town, and in Iowa, and it was you had a couple of people that really liked working over here, and they knew a certain stack of tools to get the monitoring done, and they were great. And then maybe somebody got tipped off or something happened, and you know, life happens, and like those three guys just said, "Ah, oh, we're out of here," and they go to work at another company, and then those things start to gather dust, and they become like a Shunra STA box in Pitar's basement. These great solutions. Will just gather dust, and it's disheartening from the people who have to do stuff and why we spent that money, but it is also about the short. I think we get back to the shortage of sources to mentor and raise new performance testers. They should all listen to Perf Bytes and learn everything they can learn.
That's why we're here.
Yeah, and get up to speed. But I think the value equation, there's a perfect storm of. And it is a storm when it. I'm not, that's the SDA box. Darn it! I keep coming back to Shunra references. Can't do that.
It was the storm, wasn't it?
Yeah. There's the people.
So Mark, I think we
James,
need to.
James, I was just going to say people process tools. Remember that whole wave of analysts? Mm-hmm. People process tools. People
but you
process
know that
tools.
Still that still reigns true.
Well, although because really it's so abstractly simple, of course it rains true for fact driving things a tractor and
naturally
planting wheat,
it does.
And it's for building
well, that,
pyramids. You
that
know,
kind of shows you.
You know,
this...
Ahmed, I have to tell you, we're going to build a pyramid, but it's all about people, process, and tools.
So that shows you it's not rocket science. It shows you it's
you know
pretty
what?
Tried
I'm,
and true.
I'm going to move to Alabama and go to Huntsville, and we're going to build rockets, and I'm going to tell those people, you know, it's people, it's process, and tools. And what I think I see in people, process, tools. Overly simplified, somewhat valuable for the ignorant, and I don't mean ignorant in a negative way. I mean naive.
Hey.
Well, I wasn't talking about you, James.
You resemble that remark.
Yes, we'll save that for another day. But I think there's test in the middle of people process tool. If you want that value, does that person match that process, match that tool, and how do you validate that those three things are actually
well? Isn't testing really part of your process, anyways? If you look at it that way, so it really does fit in. I'll argue it fits.
Now,
in.
Now, I want to put someone on the spot for this.
Oh no,
and
we, don't, we never
same,
do that.
This is the same person who put me on the spot for this several hours ago.
It's controversy.
Which is Mike Larson.
You wanna...
Yeah, you asked me this very question about tools and value. So, what's your thought?
MKL test head. Oh, boy. Okay, so what prompted this question? And the reason that I brought it up, because James was talking about looking for a topic, and I said one of the questions that I was interested in, and by the way, I actually do agree with your sentiment on it. I think oftentimes we are oversold on tools. I think people tend to put too much faith in what they can or cannot do. And my whole take on it was, we can tackle big problems. We can tackle big challenging issues, and tools are a part of that process. But if you don't know how to design decent tests, if you don't know how to make something repeatable, if you don't know how to make something reliable, the tool isn't going to help you.
Heretic.
Anyway.
Heretic.
No, see.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
See, you just reinforced what I said a few minutes ago, right? A
tool, no charge.
A tool does not a performance engineer make. Performance engineer should know how to use and take advantage of the tool, but the tool isn't going to be the magic bullet. I was thinking back to when I started out in 1903.
Oh, don't lie, Howard.
Yeah,
it was
right.
The 1800s.
It was the 1800s. You're right, Mark. I'm just trying to make myself seem a little younger than I am.
No.
You know,
the blood transfusions.
When did they switch to metal from wood in the adders?
That's right.
On the computers.
Hey, come on. I keep telling everyone my first programming class was on punch cards. I'm not kidding. Anyway.
Made out of birch bark.
Yeah. So...
Exactly.
Parchment. We had parchment punch cards.
Parchment punch cards.
What's this, pick on me day?
No, go ahead. I interrupted you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Back in 1903, you were
back
sorry.
In 1903, we actually...
I was adjusting my loincloth,
yeah.
Sir.
I will... What's the point I'm trying to make? I don't know. I'm just rambling. Back in 1903, we actually used to make tools vendors cry. When they came into our lab.
That's so sad.
Because we had rolled our own, and we'd made them so much better than the tools vendor did back at that time.
And who did you work for in 1903?
Digital Equipment Corporation, that itty-bitty computer, the second largest computer corporation in the world at that
point. So you were a vendor who made other vendors cry?
Yeah. Yes, we did. And I could talk about a couple of vendors that came in, and we made them cry really bad. But now I would say the tools have just... what's the word I'm looking for?
Matured.
Yes, that's a beautiful, evolved, matured, and they're just so much, they're so much more stronger.
And they have lasers.
They do have lasers. Yeah. They do, and they're easier to use, and I think they're much more powerful, much more intuitive. You can use them across different platforms. I mean, come on, when we built our own tool sets back in the old days, we just built them for our platform. We didn't build them.
Well, you were the second largest computer company in the world.
Yeah. I know. And we built them all on VAX VMS.
I'll just say you're welcome for all that, you know. I'm just kidding.
No, but you might have been good that we made tools vendors cry back then, because that made them want to make their tools better.
Yeah, that's good. And right? The years of therapy that they had for years after visiting.
Well,
I will share.
I'm still under therapy right now.
Our online audience, Tim Western... they're chatting a few things, so we actually have some remarks coming in from these guys. One would say, I would say tools add value proportional to the skill and environment in which they are deployed and leveraged. And I think Tim's saying environment-wise is also, is the process fit? Is the environment, the culture, are we communicating properly? Eric, you had a great session on communicating results and that kind of stuff, so we can hear from you on that. So maybe you'll find someone else to give a testimony about how great your session was besides me.
So just think about that, though. It's like when you need to use the right tool to get the job done, too. You're not going to use a wrench to bang in a nail.
Yeah. But Tim also if you don't know him, you can follow him, Vertex, right? He's from a technical sense, you could have a tool that just, this one is great, I love this, but... Darn it! It just doesn't work on this technical environment. So you'd have a platform mismatch as well. I think that's a lot less of a problem if you're in other portable frameworks, but it still happens. Scott also gives a shout out. Says, should vendors partners focus on better educational services delivery to make it easier to access the knowledge? And I should say, you guys should just hire us, and we'll put together a Perfites training class for your company. And I don't know, we'll give away single malt. Maybe that's probably a HR violation. We can't give away single malt scotch. At the twig. You can alternate extracurricular activities at each of the deliveries. Scott, who's also come to SCP Cons and other conferences, of course we should. Of course vendors should, and we can do more. I have to stop consulting. And making so much fabulous thousands of dollars doing consulting work, I think I want to just give it up and be like a monk Are you gonna, no money and just do nothing but be that Zen guy that goes around and teaches people?
Are you going to wander the earth?
He has the beard. He has the beard for it, doesn't he?
For free.
He can sit up on the mountain. He's already got the beard.
I'm dispossess myself of any worldly ties and just go around teaching the Zen and the art of, are you gonna have, of like, performance engineering.
Are you going to have flowing robes and everything?
Perf Chi? Who said?
Perf Chi.
Perf Chi.
Perf
awesome.
Chi.
That's it. Where I'm writing that down right
Wait
now.
Wait a minute. Here
the
we
chi,
go.
The Chi.
Yes,
the Tao of Perth.
Everyone, join us.
You want me to come and tune your app server? I'm just going to sit for a minute here in front of the app server. I can hear garbage collection happening. There's 67% in GC. Your Eden space is too small. I think that's my future. I don't know that a vendor will ever sign up to have us do that.
You can have Tomlinson's Law instead of Ohm's Law.
That's right. All right. So thank you to Tim and Scott for chiming in a little bit. Does anyone else have a thought to share on the topic? So Andy's raising his hand.
Where's the mic?
He just doesn't want to give it to Andy because he's, you know.
Somebody else.
No. Go ahead, Andy.
I have a question or actually a comment. So when you said the value is the combination of a perfect tool and a guy that can handle it well, so that would mean.
Or gal.
Hmm? Or woman. Or gal. Man or woman.
I know,
guy or
sorry,
girl.
Sorry, yeah,
performance engineer.
So here's the challenge, I think, for tool vendors. Obviously, I work for a tool vendor. On the one side, we can build a great tool that can do an amazing job, but you need the skills to handle it.
Absolutely.
Or, and this doesn't scale, because then you would need to train so many people that can actually handle the tool. Or what we try to do, we all move into SaaS, right? Or every tool, most tool vendors move into SaaS. That means you need to make something that is so easy to use and give you value without you having a lot of knowledge that scales well but may not give you the value.
So my retort to that is...
He has a retort.
Yes. The engineer
retort.
Is the person asking the question. So when you move to a software as a service model, you're going to ask some standardized questions in order to deliver some amount of standardized value. The problem is we all live in a highly customized world where the questions still need some level of detail specific to the environment. So in an environment where you're delivering a SaaS solution and you are predefining the questions which yield answers, you're going to limit at a point your value if your user cannot ask a more detailed question.
So that means you're telling me that SaaS doesn't really scale all that well as we hope, because in the end it only scales to a certain point, because then the value gets less
it guarantees a minimum level of value but not a maximum level of value.
How do you figure that?
Because when you have SaaS, you have standard
you have
standard analysis patterns that you're looking for. And those patterns are appropriate to the most common sets of architecture.
Yeah.
I can't ask a question involving Teradata because Teradata is uncommon and I don't have a canned question for that. But if my engineer has the expertise to ask the tool the right question for the data that it has collected, I get an increase in value from the information coming back.
What happens when the tool talks back to you?
Yeah. Oh, I love it when the tool talks back to me. I really do. That's usually after a very, very late evening.
I think performance tools should have the equivalent of Siri or Alexa built in to the thing. Yes.
So Andy, I put you on the spot. You put me on the spot. What's your thought on that? Do you see that there's a limit on value or?
Well, I think it's very challenging to build a tool that can basically help everybody that doesn't even have a whole lot of knowledge on the topic.
Yep.
So if you build a generic tool, you only get generic value. Yes.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
I think
the challenge is to build a tool that works for both, as you said, provide the minimum value for somebody that is new to the field, that wants to get the quick wins, but then the tool also needs to have an expert mode. I don't know what it is, but then also takes an expert, quote unquote.
But don't we kind of have that anyways?
Unfortunately, the experts don't scale. That's the problem. The people, like you are three experts, but how many of you do we have?
I don't know.
World?
Give me some more pizza. I might be able to scale.
Yeah. There is excellent.
No, yeah. you'd just be adding more pounds when you step on the scale.
Make more friends. Bring in some more friends. Claire, you had a comment, a thought here.
Well, I
network from for SAS, and we
actual SAS, not SAS.
SAS Institute. And we have people like me that my job is to learn these tools, use them. I'm called out with Inside SAS to do it. I'm the expert in the tool. It is my job to find tools and pull them in. I don't write code. Well, I do write some code, but I don't write code that gets shipped and stuff. And my job is to learn this tool inside and out and to work with your company and say, I need this, I need that, I need this. And then when I work with the developers and testers inside of SAS, they're like, Claire, help me on this problem. And I go, give me your problem, I'll work on it. And then I go back and do a presentation to their division and say, this is how I use the tool to find your problems.
Yeah.
So you start teaching the developers and testers how to use stuff after that. So you've got to kind of, if your company's big enough that you can dedicate someone or a couple people, this is their job to do this, then you can actually start building the testers and developers to learn how to use the tool, but then you've got someone that knows the environment that can work with the third party.
Now, this is a profession that lends itself very much to that trade model, mm-hmm. with a strong mentoring portion to bringing people up to speed.
Right.
And I think SAS should be lauded as a rare example of one of those companies that takes that model and reinforces it and funds it.
Mm-hmm.
It is very rare in the industry that companies actually do that.
Good. Okay, excellent point. Thank you. So we're going to move. We're going to keep things moving. I think that we already have some discussion that will happen over more single malt scotch afterwards. Would you agree?
Yes.
You're a teetotaler, but you can have water and still have the conversation.
I have single malt water.
Yeah, single malt water.
Yeah.
That'll be good. So really, really good conversation. But let's spend a minute, and then we're going to take some testimonials. Is anyone ready? You got your hand in the air? Going to do some testimonials? Share something that you learned from the conference.
Notice there are people looking the
other
direction.
Just go grab these people, bring them over. Come on, you want to do the podcast? You're going to win some shoes. So we're going to get. If nobody's going to win any shoes if they don't get on.
Come
the
on,
mic. Claire's been on the mic. Mike's been on the mic.
So baby needs a new pair of shoes.
All right, so hang on a second because you guys know what's coming next here, right?
Greetings once again, Perf Bice listeners. Your old pal Satan here. You know, recently I've been doing a lot of thinking about my own career as a professional evildoer. I've had a good run for the last, couple thousand years, I guess. We really did some damage back in the day with those genocide, volcanoes, earthquakes, flash floods, and tidal waves. Damn, I love a good tidal wave. I mean, those were the good old days, right? But now, sadly, it's a whole new ballgame with all this cool high-tech stuff, what with the websites, the networks, databases, mobile devices, and interconnected microservices architectures. There's so many new innovations in the marketplace of darkness, an old geezer like me just can't keep up. Maybe it's time for me to retire. You know? Maybe it's just time for me to move on. I could take a teaching position at the local community college. My dad did always tell me I should have a fallback option in accounting. Anyway, enough of my little pity party. It's time again for the next edition of The News of the Damned.
Can you dig it?
Come back, Larry.
Still being tortured. Somebody's forced him to use the wrong tool.
Yes.
What do you think?
That's what he got when still he tried to use a wrench to bang on a nail.
That happens. I tried that once. That was really
Did good. It work?
Yes. So, News of the Damned does it.
Of course.
You can. I'm an expert. I can make anything work.
This is true.
So, James usually does a collection, so we'll move pretty quickly. But, James, what are the top ones you got for us? I know it's election season, right?
Well, Mark, Will Howard, come on down, Donald Trump.
Donald Trump.
And Bernie Sanders.
Yay.
You two are on the News of the Damned awesome. This week. We're looking at a couple of very consistent problems in Democratic and Republican Party websites across Arizona, Utah, and portions of Wisconsin, where we had website failures due to load. Imagine that.
Yes.
People interested in the web
Is
results.
Is that why Donald Trump was complaining
about some of the highest turnout, right?
So very high turnout, and of course, the press all over the world is very interested in what happens with our beloved Oompa Loompa and how he is doing in the election cycle.
Orange Oompa Loompa?
Yes, yes. Willy Wonka's bad love child, I guess.
All right.
Oh, so, no, I have to do this. I can get myself.
No.
Yeah, Oompa Loompa head. Come on, can I get it?
Can you work on that? So, who do you want to talk about first?
So I think we need to cover once again how they need to run the election results websites.
Yes, election results are dynamic but predictable.
Dynamic but predictable, and what you need to do is make sure that once every 15 seconds you put up a static website and all of your static components are cached in the CDN.
Oh, I was going to you didn't let me say it the way I wanted to.
You want to say
CDN? Well,
go
ahead, Howard.
I want to say it.
Say it. What is it called, Howard?
It's a CDN.
Thank you, Sarge.
Okay. Thank you.
I just had to
get
that out of my system.
Yeah, no.
So,
I wake up in the morning,
it's really very simple. What happens is everybody comes in, they make a request, it makes a request to a dynamic data store, it fulfills the request, and you have all this dynamic activity going on in this very high volume website. It just doesn't work.
Oh, but James, my website looks so sexy for the candidate. We're going to get lots of people to vote and go online. It's going to be really sexy and dynamic.
I'm disturbed by this. I'm very disturbed by this.
It was pretty disturbing, actually.
Yes. Yes, Howard, I'm glad you're between the two of us right now.
Creeping you out. No, it's not about the number.
It's all about the quality, right?
It's not about quantity. It's all about quality.
Yeah. It's really very simple. Yeah. We have people coming in high volumes. We just need to make that front page as static as possible. We can have the one frame in the middle with the actual results that's refreshed once every 15 seconds. It can be cached for up to 15 seconds in the CDN as well, give it a time to live. So the load is going to be handled entirely off-server for the most part, and you can survive it. It is common sense in this case.
And take the best of the Souders front-end performance analysis and all the myriad tools you can use to do that, and make that static page load incredibly quickly and in a clean, orderly fashion, just like when kids are taught to do that getting off the school bus. Please leave the back of the bus in a nice, orderly fashion.
And plus the results. I mean, basically, it's an easy post, right?
Very simple data update.
You don't have to make it that complex.
Yeah. So were both the Trump website and the Sanders website
it's not really the Trump website and the Sanders website. It is the Republican Party website and the Democratic Party website.
Got it.
So these are the organizations that are getting the load in the various states as they run their primaries and caucus.
Okay.
And, that's where the problem is you have these individuals who are not thinking ahead to the volumes that are going to come in and not designing appropriately for load.
Hey, maybe they use the same developers as the site that shall remain
Or they use
nameless.
They use great tools and not really great people to do the tools.
Yeah.
I will say for this political season, different because we've done this every year for the last several years. It was I think Obama the last one was 2012.
12.
So it was right around, because we had just started right before the election, the first Perf Byte season, and we covered this stuff. It was really like everything was fine throughout the election season, and it was like right before
Orca. And then there was Cook County, Illinois.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Chicago. It was also like Orca and what was the other one? Narwhal.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was like that was the only crash for that election season, and it really took the news. I think we've done the last two or three news of the dams. There's another political website, another campaign website, another something. These things are going much. It's happening this election season much more than ever before.
I mean, they're falling over one or both parties in just about every state. The further on that we go, and there's no. These are highly avoidable events.
Yeah. Do you think that's happening now more because people are going on using their mobile devices to check these things out?
It could very well be. It could just be the amount of interest around the world, not just within the United States.
Yeah, I could definitely believe that.
Yeah.
Oh, but absolutely. That latency is so easy now, and everyone knows traffic segmentation for the most part.
And that's why we use the CDN anyways to help us defeat latency.
And guys, there's one more.
Which is from what?
Just to announce, we are now required by law to include a ticket failure from the UK in the News of the Damned.
Hey, it's the UK, another ticket failure site. I'm so surprised.
Yes, yes.
It's so rare.
Exactly. And this actually happened where tickets were being sold for people to come view a beloved train.
What kind of train?
It's a steam train called the Flying Scotsman.
Okay.
You know, it's painted green, and evidently, it has some sort of fervor. You know how the English people are with their trains and their gardens. Yeah. And
so did the website hop on board with the Flying Dutchman then?
What happened is people tried to buy tickets to the Flying Scotsman. And it started at a defined 1 p.m. for you to buy tickets.
Yes.
Does anyone see a problem? They pre-announced that you could start buying tickets at 1 p.m.
Hey, everyone. 1 p.m. Come attack the web. It's a perfect load test scenario, don't you think? Spike test scenario? Yeah, maybe they weren't selling tickets at all, James.
Does this make your own?
We're load testing this Flying Scotsman site. It's actually for the NHS.
They were doing something, but they weren't selling tickets at 1 p.m., I can tell you that.
Yeah, they weren't selling anything.
Hey, it was roll your own DOS.
And this, by the way, was today. This event happened
actually today. Isn't it in Brussels is the world's largest micro train set? Like micro world, miniature world or something? Is it in Hamburg?
Not thinking of Lego World, are you?
No. It's like you know those geeks, like your weird uncle in the basement that still loves his train set. You know the Tyco. Yeah, you have one. Yeah, but then it's like an entire world with an airport operations and all.
I think that's in Belgium.
I think it's
I'm
in Belgium.
I'm not sure if it's in Brussels or not.
It's in Germany.
Never mind.
Hamburg. Hamburg or Frankfurt? Miniature World. Yes. Exactly. But they're not crashing. It's in Hamburg? All right, everybody, we're going to Hamburg. Right now, everyone go get a ticket to Miniature World. Let's crash their website. Yeah, exactly. Genau. Hey, shout out to the UK.
Yeah.
And where was this happening? Where is the Flying Scotsman? Is it in
It was Scotland? In Shropshire.
Shropshire. Yeah, so shout out to our friends in the UK.
And the Severn Valley Railway's website.
There you go. All right. And we're kind of done analyzing why they crash. We know why they crash. Gwen did a nice expose at Test Bash about the PHP changes they made. The queuing model is all really screwed up and wrong. I mean, you know, when you do a ticket purchase, we've gone over this over and over again. It's like going to the butcher shop, and if I have, I'm going to lick that seat and that seat. Well, you don't go to the butcher shop and lick things, though, do you? Not typically.
No, that's a Volkswagen commercial.
That's right. But anyway, again, Ticketmaster UK. There's actually, I think Kim Knupp works at Songkick. Songkick, we had them once on the News of the Dam, but they're actually doing some good stuff. And then always a shout-out to Trust IV, our friends Mahesh and Richard Bishop, that are up in Manchester.
Yes.
Yes.
I have another personal experience to share.
Howard would like to share his personal experience.
Howard, tell us about it.
If you all recall, in the last News of the Dam, I went on a rant about a particular ticket website and another website, the mouse. The mouse did it again to us. Mouse Mobile this time.
Mickey Mini Mobile.
We were trying to get the wristbands that they offer now. So when you go to the park, you don't need your tickets, and you can get your fast pass with your little
fast
wristband.
Pass wristband.
So we went on the handy dandy mobile app, which I still have here on my phone.
Oh, very interesting.
And lo and behold, it took us 25 minutes to even figure out how to get the bloody wristband.
Well, Howard,
that's wonderful.
Howard.
Yes, James.
It's a monopoly site. It's not like they have to compete with anyone.
It's not real money.
Exactly.
It's fake Disney money, isn't it?
I mean, it's like, where else are you going to go if it's slow?
It's a slow world after all.
It's a slow world after.
Yes, exactly. So it is. It's all fake.
It's a slow world.
That's right. Thank you very much. I will say they also want to build anticipation. Your experience in the whole Disneyfication.
You know what they're actually doing?
They want to build up your anticipation.
They're getting me prepped for waiting 25
and your kids
minutes.
Almost to the brink of tears, and then it's like elation that they met Mickey or something like that.
I figure they're just prepping me for 25 minutes to go sit on the Pirates of the Caribbean ride or something like that.
Yes, yes.
after 30 minutes, I think you would have gone and sat on there and set the ship on fire. But
that sounds very, very good.
Either I hop off the boat and go hang out with the little animatronic characters.
So we'll give a tip of the I guess everyone got some of the smart – a tip of the Smart Bear hat to Rex Red Black, who's actually, I think, still working at Disney. Somewhere in the fray. He's probably training a bunch of people or something like that. So
we should train him.
Thanks, Rex. Get on this mobile device.
Train him
Rex.
How to test mobile devices.
Let's get that done, brother. That would be really good. All right. James, thank you for the news. Anything more on the News of the Dam there?
I think that's it. Just stay tuned. We do have live News of the Dam shows either every week or every other week. Wherever I'm at in the universe at 5 p.m. on a Wednesday. So
yes. If it's Wednesday and it's 5 p.m., and you're not crying because your website crashed, you should listen to other people's horror stories.
Exactly.
It will make you feel so much better.
It will make you feel so much
News of the Damned.
Yes, exactly.
All right, so who else shall we put on the spot here?
Well, we're not going to put anyone on the spot, James. You're threatening them. You're going to scare them out of the room.
Does anyone else have a wonderful story to share with us?
This is your opportunity to share a tale, and it can be from your own career, your own work, your own world. Talk about something you learned at the conference, something you learned recently in your job, a performance story,
or a shout-out.
And keep in mind, you're trying to tell something that helps Tony decide who's going to win some of our wonderful wonderful pieces here.
All right, Anne.
So Anne's going to jump in.
Hi. So do I have to say News of the Dam, or can I share a good story?
Good stories, positive stories, thank yous, but mostly something about performance that you'd like to share,
so,
something you learned.
A great movie called Pootie Tang. Have you heard of it?
What is it?
Pootie Tang. It's really funny.
Yeah.
Pootie Tang. Okay. So I streamed it on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
It was, you know, a little bit choppy, parts of it, and then I got an email within 2 hours and say, we're refunding your Prime.
Wow.
It was $3.99, I think, that I paid.
Yeah.
So somebody is testing and monitoring and literally got ahead of the game and said, you don't have to pay for it. And I didn't say a word.
So how did that make you feel from a customer service experience? You were probably disappointed with the streaming, but once you received that follow-up, how did that make you feel?
I was shocked. I was going, wow, this is amazing.
It's
like
very Big Brother,
awesome.
Isn't it?
Well,
but in a nice Big Brother kind of way.
Yeah, I didn't mind that. Well, especially when I get my money back.
They were using their monitoring tools for good.
The forces of good.
Instead of evil.
So the force has awakened in Seattle in the Amazon world. So that's really interesting. So proactively they're monitoring the stream quality. And they must have had something. It might have been a whole bunch of streams out of one. So, like, anyone who had a purchase within this time window, we're giving you your money back. My bad, kind of thing, right? Whoops, sorry, unplugged that thing.
So, Ann, how recently ago was that?
A week ago?
Ann, how recently ago was that?
Maybe a month ago. All right, so good on you, Amazon Prime and Amazon Streaming. It's Amazon Video, I think, is the actual name of it, right? Yeah.
Amazon Prime Video.
You know why they did that?
Why?
Because don't you remember last year I was hammering on them because their streaming was so crappy and
it was
I was
Amazon
having so many
Prime,
problems.
So they listened to Howard.
Well, Howard, that was Howard during the snowstorm. That was during the snowstorm.
I live in Boston. There's always a flood of snowstorm.
Thank you, Ann. That's wonderful. Here's another one. Jason.
Yes, hello. So I am an aspiring performance engineer at this point in time, I guess. And, you know, after talking to Mark, I think I might be just crazy enough to do it. I'm very appreciative of Andy's class about some things I can actually throw into my automation to start to begin to find some issues in areas where there are slowdowns and bad spots. So there's a nice spot to get started because we recently actually had our site come down because of performance issues. So,
oh, really? What site is that, Jason? Maybe we can.
Can you share?
You wouldn't be able to bring it down. It's not the type of site you can't log in to get in there. So.
News that we don't actually cause the news of the damn problems. We just
report on them. Yes.
I still like my job right now. I'm not going to give that out, so you can DDoS us. But yes, it was very nice. I also appreciated Eric's class and other ways to start looking at graphs, and I now realize those pretty blue and red lines, I need to know what the heck those are actually doing. But
that's a really good point.
Yes, all right. But they could be very helpful, and I learned a lot so far from what was presented, and I hope they come back and do it again next year.
Okay. All right. So round of applause for Jason.
Yay.
Right on, brother. It's really nice. Do we have anyone else like to share a story? Quincy, come on, man. You want to win the shoes. Okay, now, guitars.
All right. So, few of you know that I've changed careers coming out of performance engineering for the last, nearly 20. Now I'm doing something a little different back into R&D. But, say, recently, last week, I was part of the O'Reilly Strata Conference.
Yeah.
And realized that going into big data and doing, say, real-time analytics is not a big jump away.
Yeah.
And going back to, say, your Amazon experience, Netflix does similar. And it's all based on a lot of it's a custom custom code on top of, say, whether it's Hadoop or Cassandra as an engine, and then doing time series analysis all in real time. So when you're doing your streaming, they can get it down to the actual stream to know if you've got jitter on the line, how much you've buffered or pre-buffered.
Yep.
It's amazing stuff, and it all gets stored in this nice little data lake, and you can do it in real time or afterwards for a summary.
All right.
I found it very, very interesting because it goes along to something I've been building over the last 2 years to basically do performance metrics on the fly and then also provide some of this knowledge where you can provide a tool set that, oh, hey, this particular performance signature aligns up in real time across a window, and it tells you how to mitigate.
Yeah.
So, kind of fun stuff.
So a shout out to Netflix, another streaming provider.
Yes.
And these guys, their businesses are impacted almost instantly by any poor performance, right?
Yes.
I mean, you would just stop watching a movie and then complain on Twitter in 5 seconds.
You know what I really hate, Mark?
Yeah.
It's when I'm watching a movie and it switches to a lower resolution.
Yep.
Exactly.
So the pressure is on for them from a revenue standpoint, but they're doing proactive performance prediction and correction, in real time.
In real time. And they're also looking at your viewing habits and stuff.
Yeah.
So that's how they start picking up the prediction of, oh, I want to watch this other movie. And you didn't realize you wanted to, but yet you did.
Yeah.
And they're doing, on-the-fly page ranking across that big data farm.
Yeah.
And picking out, between your age, your sex, where you live at, your past history viewing, and then they can just pull it all together and pull it out.
Yes.
Demographic buying pattern.
Paul, go tell Jimmy to close those doors. I love listening to that music, but maybe our listeners online don't really want to listen to that.
I'll tell you, I don't
Thank
love
you, brother.
I don't love listening to it.
And
so
then at the end, for me, it comes back to squiggly lines.
It's all squiggly lines. Squiggly blue lines that Eric will tell you to figure out.
That's what I love looking at.
All right. Pratar, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Two streaming providers.
Well, actually, if you went back to R&D, you have the perfect...
He's going
to
fix
you have the perfect opportunity to influence performance before it gets coded in.
Yes.
Exactly. So
a man after my own heart.
Yeah. So now my latest project is going into this big data solution for industrial IoT systems, that kind of stuff. So...
There you go.
That's right.
So you're actually doing the true level one.
So what Patara is doing instead of we can draw a Volkswagen analogy here. This is the difference between putting
diesel?
The engine on the stand and taking the exhaust out of it and going out and driving it down the street and analyzing the exhaust and see what's going on really.
Is that a fair
analogy?
Yeah, fair. Yeah.
Says one of the three Volkswagen owners sitting at the table.
Exactly.
We all drive Volkswagens.
At my previous employer, we used to call that kind of magic. We'd say basically diagnosis through the tailpipe.
Yeah,
very good. Excellent. Thank you very much. All right, who's next on our testimonial? Mike, you had a hand up there. Quince?
I thought it was Quince.
Come on, keep coming. Off your shawl.
All right, so I attended almost all of the performance, anything that was related to performance testing, excellent job by everyone all around. James with the rendering, Andy with all the APM, Eric with the graphs, and Mark with the performance puzzlers.
Yes.
Learned a lot from everyone. Something so simple like the dev tools, I had known about it. I had used it multiple times. But something that Andy mentioned was the counts and the metrics that you get from it. Put it into automation, track it over time, and something as simple as that can prevent a lot of things from happening. And especially enjoyed the caviar from Eric in the second half of the session. But the most fun I had was at the performance puzzler.
He's just sucking up to the host. It's not going to help. You got to convince him. It's not me. Yeah.
Yep. So thanks, guys.
Yeah. No, you're very welcome. All right. So a shout out to multiple sessions there. Michelle, that was pretty good.
Yahoo.
Excellent. Cool. All right. Quincy, you want to share?
Did I see a hand up at the very back?
Well, there is one.
Or was that just a beer salute?
Yeah, it may have been a beer salute.
There is free beer, by the way. Thanks to Rick Balcom.
Right. Okay.
No, no, you could win again. You could tell the same story and just, you know, see how it ranks, Paul.
Are we doing a repeat a story?
All right, so, but you could come up with something else you learned at work or something like that.
Or you could tell us a
He's going to think about it. Eric's raising his hand there.
You could tell us a fun war story.
So I was going to buy tickets for a concert a couple of weeks ago.
Oh my god!
In the UK?
Oh my god!
I'm having deja vu.
And they were
was
not
it Steely
seats.
Was it Steely Dan?
Not this time. That was Coachella last year. No, actually, so I was trying to buy a ticket, and it to the point where I was going on at 10:01 in the morning to buy a ticket. And what I really appreciated is the site put me in a holding spot and said, stay here. We'll check you again every minute and see if it's your turn yet.
Oh, they actually put you in a parking lot?
Yes.
This is the butcher shop ticketing system that we keep talking about people doing.
Yes.
If you're going to do the queuing piece, your queuing piece can't
check every five seconds. Your CDN provider offers this as a service.
That's very nice.
Yeah, so I waited 3-4 minutes, and then I was able to buy a ticket. And I don't know if they would have sold out anyways, but certainly it was easier as a consumer to just watch that instead of hammering F5 hoping to get lucky.
In a way, what they're saying is you can always press F5, but you'll lose your spot.
Exactly.
Right?
So they trained me to wait as opposed to...
And let us push F5 for you.
Did they reward you with the sardine at the end?
Yeah.
No.
Wasn't that on Lost? Remember in Lost? In Lost, they got in the cages, and they had to learn how to push the thing, and little food came out.
Little food pellets.
Is anyone a Lost fan? Yeah, I was one, and then there was the finale, and I gave up.
Did they lose you?
But they got me to watch all the way to the end.
You gave up at the finale.
Exactly.
Did they lose you?
Almost, yeah. All right, cool. So here, but it wasn't in the UK. It was a U.S.
No, it was actually a local San Francisco site.
If they did that when I was trying to get my Steely Dan tickets 2 weeks ago, I might have gotten the tickets. But instead, they just put me up in this beautiful, very professional-looking dust-off page.
Yeah.
They must have spent so much time building this dust-off page that because they're just so used to it.
We're so sorry that you're screwed. Bye.
Mm-hmm. Good luck finding a ticket broker selling this ticket at less than 3 times face value.
Yeah, there you go.
Exactly. No. It'll be at face value, but the hat will cost twice face value.
Exactly. Awesome. All right, so my homework for you is to figure out who was the ticket vendor behind that site.
We know who it wasn't.
That's true. Thank you. Eric, thank you very much. Very, very good. Paul's going to give a shout here. He's got something new?
It is new.
All right, that's awesome. Not only because he's a veteran at the live shows here.
No, so this is not like an embarrassing thing or even a good story. It's more of just an information thing.
Yes.
So I've been doing a little studying on high-volume automated testing. And one of the things they talk about is load-enhanced functional testing, where you run load traffic capacity on your system and then rerun your functional automated scripts and see if you get a behavior difference.
Yes.
It's called a GUI virtual user. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And we used to do that back at Nortel where we would run, hey, we need 100,000 or 1 million or whatever busy hour call attempts. Hey, let's run our functional test on it as well and see if we get failures. And if we do, then we know that there's some sort of timing issue based on load on the system.
Latency of some sort within the processing.
Exactly. And I don't know how many people are doing that, but it was valuable to us back then, maybe it's valuable to other people now.
It's still valuable. I can tell you an anecdote for myself in doing that same thing. Scott Barbara, we did one of the webinars we did, I think, was called like the business value of performance or something like that. And there was one of the speakers was talking about that and actually turned around and proposed a term. I think it was called user acceptance testing under load. Are you kidding me? Did I even know you then?
Eric.
I don't think I even knew you then. You were just a random name on the webinar, go-to webinar thing. He's sitting right here. So there it is. The guy that coined the phrase. We've been doing it for years, but he coined the phrase. And if Scott says that's Eric's term, Eric, I didn't know that. I'm sorry. User acceptance testing under load. I still use it every day. And it's just you're automating, take the same thing you do functionally, add latency due to resource consumption or load, and see if you actually do that. In an Ajax-rich Web 2.0 environment,
this was actually touched on in my own discussion today.
Rendering
is killing your scalability.
Yeah. Now, are you trying to just give support to Paul so that he wins the shoes?
No. It's a random happenstance that
so
I
Paul,
talked about.
So, Paul, you should just give a shout-out to how great James's session was.
I do give a shout-out to how great James's session was, even though I wasn't there. I know it was good. Because I know James.
All right, so, Tony, you buying that?
My session tomorrow and
send upgraded. Oh, no, that's bribery.
The real benefit here is if you're doing load testing and you're doing functional automation, you've already got the stuff, just run them both at the same time. It's very little extra cost other than the opportunity cost for whatever else you might be investigating.
There's one rule of thumb. You need to include timers in your functional test automation that match the timers that are in your transport layer virtual users, so you can line them up so you can get login and login underscore GUI.
And what we were doing at Nortel, it was automatically built in because it was all protocol-based. Yep. And if you didn't respond in a certain number of milliseconds, it just crapped out anyway.
Yeah.
So it's a little different when you're dealing with websites because you do have to build in some amount of timers there. But if you're working at a protocol layer or some sort of messaging layer where innately the timing
the timer
built in,
is there.
It's already there.
And it actually says right in the log, crapped out. So that's the
If I wrote it, it might.
Info mode, warn mode, debug mode,
crap mode.
Yeah, exactly. It's log4j. I'm going to put
So you've seen the things I write.
Yes, exactly.
So for you out there in podcast land, this probably will take a little extra coordination because a lot of times there's performance engineering groups and functional groups. So
absolutely.
We're going to have the joining of the minds here to make it work.
Before we move, first of all, thanks, Paul. Let's give a round of applause to Paul.
Thank you.
Very excellent. Just as an aside, how many of you are automation teams that are adding performance? And Jason is there. I keep hearing it everywhere. Everyone else is already performance gurus here because that's who we... So you're still... Is your automation team taking up performance, Paul?
No, we have a separate org.
Well,
it's not an org. It's a separate team in the same org that does the performance and some other sort of production-related things.
Are they allowed out of their cave long enough to speak to the rest of the organization?
They are. In fact, they've been allowed out even more recently, so I'm interacting with them more than I have previously.
All right.
Excellent.
But so it's melding.
It is melding. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Cool. All right. Such an awesome idea.
Gee, I wonder if we could ever get a tool that does that all in one.
Exactly. Just think about this. The possibilities are just amazing.
It's true.
They're just
awesome. All right, go for it. All right. Thank you, Paul, very much.
Who else
would like to share a story? Or a testimonial for a session, a shout. Anyone else? Hands in the air? All right, Quincy, finally.
Favorite topic?
His brain is still moving slow after the puzzlers.
It was kind of hard since Costa took everything I was going to say.
Yeah. But, you have to be original.
On top of that, one of the things that, a couple of things I took away, one being the N plus one, because Andy talked about it, and it's something that I pointed out with an issue that I found within our company. Where one small component was inserting one at a time, and versus getting all the information and patching it in.
Yeah.
So we kind of talked with Andy in terms of how to communicate with them, because once you pointed out, it was like, oh, okay, this is something we'll look at later. This is not a big deal, although it's adding a lot of overhead at the time.
Right.
So it kind of No, just getting some feedback for that is really good. In terms of with Eric class, getting the, like further confirmation of certain things, like directions we want to move towards, like say for example, average response times. Yep. Getting away from just solely basing things on average response times, but percentiles.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Just a lot of things to kind of validate what we want to do and move towards, but. Sometimes you have people who've been doing certain things for a certain long period of time.
Yeah.
They don't want to change how they measure.
Yeah, don't we do that?
So it's good to get that validation and kind of be able to take this or like, okay, here's what a lot of other people are doing. Maybe we should kind of look into how to better ourselves.
Okay.
That was really good.
So you saved the very last for the punchline here. So you actually found things that are presented in each of these where you're bettering yourself. Not just like I picked up a new tool or a technique or a thing to switch here. You actually mean that like you see more hope in doing what you're doing for your company and for your career.
Right.
All right.
And it looks like we have Mr. Larson who asked to step in again.
Michael, sir.
All right, so I don't know if this is...
Give some props to Quincy here.
Indeed. Thank you, Quincy. All right, so this is probably not really so much a testimonial or anything like this, and I'm not competing for the shoes. I'm throwing down a challenge.
Love it.
For the guys. Challenge for the shoes?
No, a challenge for the for the Perf Bites guys.
A challenge for the
James.
So if you win the challenge, he's going to buy you a pair of Perf Bites shoes that says, I lost. I think that would be appropriate.
Okay.
This is going to have a chance to derail.
You've got me on the edge of my seat here.
All right.
Okay, so we have a challenge.
Well, not so
Mr.
much.
Lawson.
So hold on. Just let me get through this. Thank you. It's okay. I can talk over them. So James might remember a couple of years ago that I approached him with a madcap idea that was very early in its infancy and being put together. It was actually the core of my own workshop that I did at the start of this week for CAST, which is teaching new software testers.
Yeah, exactly.
And James actually has a solid byline in that material because the lesson zero that we ended up teaching was from his suggestion when I sat down and said, what would you think would be some of the best things that we could teach brand new software testers?
Great.
And without missing a beat, he says, I really think we need to teach these kids coming up what the scientific method actually means.
Ah.
And it was a totally out there thought, but it proved to be such a solid thing to work with.
Yep.
And such a foundational thing. So, and that's now part of what we do. When I gave the presentation, I was curious what has legs, what still works with this.
Mm-hmm.
It went very well. I got some very good feedback for it.
Good.
And as I was listening to a lot of these things, I realized we don't really have a lot of introductory material for somebody coming in. Where performance is something that would be interesting. It would be something that would be intriguing. It would be something if. Part with the word. It's kind of sexy to lure people into.
Isn't it?
Into
yeah, I'm so sexy. I'm too sexy for this tool.
So, again, this is where I'm coming back. Since James gave me the brilliant lesson zero, I'm looking to see if there's some way we can insert a lesson 3.5 on how do we introduce performance and performance topics to the real freshers that are coming into our world and our view. And how like my own daughters are 17 and 15, came to the meet and greet last night, had a chance to talk to a number of people and what they were all about. How would I introduce something?
Wireshark.
No.
Wireshark.
But as simple as...
I'm sorry. That's what did it for me. Yeah,
so in terms of a challenge, I think the when you said you and James were connected on that, which is brilliant, by the way, if those of you... anyone here not know the scientific method? You can raise your hand. It's a safe. We're safe here. We're all friends, right? Even in the performance puzzler, we encouraged cross-group collaboration and consensus building, mm-hmm. and said, "You guys, before you burn a question, come up with a hypothesis. Anticipate what your expected results are." I mean, that was part of performance analysis. But when you actually brought up what you and James had talked about, what I thought he was going to say, James?
What?
modern operating systems, base foundation skills, and architecture.
Oh, well, you know.
Because there could be something in that for 3.5,
yeah.
Which is, I see people that are brilliant with tools or even brilliant with a great testing process.
Although I would not recommend Andrew Tannenbaum as a Christmas gift for your daughters.
Even though it sounds like a Christmas thing, right? Tannenbaum.
He's really dry and heavy on math. It's a bad Christmas read.
Do you know, I actually did a presentation. I actually developed a presentation a few months ago, or maybe it's longer than a few months ago now.
It was 6 months ago.
Yeah, it was called Thinking in QA. So it actually taught people how to actually think in the QA discipline and what they needed to. I'm not going to say what they needed to do, but it was recommendations on how to look at things, how to look at problems, how to look at what they're about to attack and go. I like calling it attack because I always just call it attacking. And anyways, looking what software they want to go attack, and it was a great presentation. It went off really well.
Good for you,
Mike. We have had a number of requests over the last couple of years. You know, what do we have in our library? What are go-to books? And I guess we've covered a number of different volumes on the air at different times.
We have, yeah.
We likely should just consolidate that. Make it available
on
the website
and just say,
click here, go get a copy, that type of thing.
But you know, some of it gets dry, so it needs to be interesting. That's why I kind of like the idea of going out and
go ahead.
So let me preface this a little bit, and this might help a bit. One of the things that we do, and again, this is all material that filtered into the original summer camp, summer QA program, and all this material is part of my doing this workshop and seeing what was here is I want to crack the egg and break this open and make it available to as many people as possible. Yeah. The Association for Software Testing gave us a small grant to help bring it all together, and it just seems sad that right now it's not known or being utilized. But we want to grow it. We want to add to it. We want to make it more accessible to as many people as we can.
Yeah.
And one of the things that's key to all the stuff that we work on is we throw people into a testing situation first, give them an opportunity to use what we're going to actually cover.
Okay.
And then after that, we say, by the way, here's what we did, and here's the vocabulary that surrounds it.
Yeah.
And so instead of, again, doing all the dry things, that's my challenge, and I'm curious how we can, and it doesn't have to be answered right now, although if you do...
We're all going to stay here for the next 4 hours.
My estimation of your prowess will go way up if you can figure this out right here, right now.
I've already figured it out.
There is a successful model for incubating new performance people.
They should listen to PerfBytes.
Yeah.
Well, of course.
That's why we do this.
But it does involve being selective for people who are highly curious, who have an architectural eye, that is, they can see a system and kind of visualize the decomposition of it, which is very important for how pieces connect and where you would test. And then there is some process that needs to be taught by somebody, whether it's in a formal classroom or in a mentoring situation, and you do need a mentor and follow-up for a period of time because you're going to try to assimilate all of these foundational skills, these process items, these tool mechanics, and you're going to be frustrated for a period of time. Depending upon your maturity of skills, that could be as short as 2 weeks, or it could be as long as a year. If you're very, very immature. But this always ensures that you get a very competent engineer at the end, as opposed to, say, the social promotion model, which is you're now in charge, go home and watch videos.
But I did those YouTube videos, and they're very entertaining. And you can learn a lot. And I was young then, and I think I was more svelte, you know. Clean shaven.
I think you had less gray hair.
I had a lot less gray hair. It was 2009. It was really nice.
I had gray hair.
All right, so this is our challenge. We're going to take this into fall STPCon, and we might ping you and come up with. I do a performance essentials workshop that covers concepts, basic skills, doesn't pound you over the head with tools, mechanics, so you can learn that. So maybe we talk about morphing that a little bit into something new. Would you guys agree with doing something, bringing that back? All right, we will. Thank Mike. Thank you. Can I ask you one more question?
Have that after. But I want to ask him a question.
Yeah, but that's fine. This is not a panel discussion. It's a podcast. You remember the podcast, Howard? The people here, remember, look at them. They're online right here listening.
I can't ask them a follow-up question.
Yeah, but we have to get – it's been an hour and 13 minutes, Howard. I'm just trying to go into the meta here a little bit to remind us that Tony is painfully making a decision as to who's going to win these fine gifts. First of all, those of you that gave a testimonial, we have Pitar, we have wait a minute. I wrote that one down. Claire, Andy, Jason, Kishal, Paul, Eric, Mike. Wait a minute. Who is that?
Basically the front row.
Who else gave it? Yeah, so basically the front row.
I think it's like almost everyone in the room.
Yes. Please, let's, if you will, come up and we'll give you these stopwatches here. So let's start handing those out for everyone that needs a stopwatch. And then we're going to turn it back over to Tony here to start giving an idea as to who might win. Come on up and get your stopwatch. Yes, James is going to hand both of us. You got you three. Who, there was I have. What did I write? What? Look at this. What is that? A. It's an A. Oh, Ann. I'm sorry. I totally wrote that wrong.
I don't even have my reading glasses.
These
on
guys. They, you got your stop. Where's your stopwatch? Oh, they are. They can't get two stopwatches. They already have a stopwatch. All right. So we gave out the stopwatches. Now, Tony, just stand back a little bit. I don't want to feedback in the thing of the thing.
Can I give a rant?
Yes. So the first giveaway. Now, first of all, you have the different stories. Usually, you talk the top three, and start with number three. And you know they'll probably be heartbroken because they didn't win anything. And then you go to number two and number one. Number two will win this fine, chic hip flask.
Or and get number one right. Flask. We don't want to have a repeat of the Miss Universe thing.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Which also crashed a website, I think. Exactly. All right, Tony, go ahead.
All right. Can I get a drum roll, please? Coming in at number three, Eric Progler.
Eric Progler.
Woohoo! Eric!
Now, what was convincing you that Eric came in three? I mean, he's obviously third place is not a bad thing compared to we had many people.
Well, he brought up a lot of good points, but the thing that told me was the fact that he came up with the term user automated under test load.
Yes.
That's been used, you've been using it for years. And that to me, I was like, oh, it's kind of cool that he came up with it. You've been using it. You didn't even know it was him. You thought it was Barber.
And you didn't even remember right. It's user acceptance testing under load. Yeah.
Exactly. Eric, but that was impressive.
All right, so that got you third place. I'm sorry. No, you did get a stopwatch, though, right? So rock and roll. Rock and roll. Yes. All right. Excellent. So
And by the way, you'll get a box of Rice-A-Roni, the San Francisco treat, as well.
Yes. So by the way, not just as a consolation prize. Yes, thank you. Tim Western is online here saying, I won a nice Perf Bite stopwatch in Boston last fall. It was Framingham, actually. Let's get it right, Tim. I'm just kidding. Already used it multiple times. Never realized I was missing such a fine tool before. Huh?
Okay.
Does your tool provide value? You get a stopwatch. Thank you, Tim. That's excellent. Eric, very nice job. All right, who comes in at number two?
That's a tough one.
Yes.
Why?
Well, you need to make the decision.
One of the stories was a happy story, which I'm not used to hearing. You know, news of the dam is always very, very negative.
Yeah.
And then the other one was just very, very informative about like all these demographics that get captured.
Okay.
Which to me, I was like, oh, it's eye-opening but scary and very Big Brother-ish, but I never knew these things.
Okay.
So it kind of weighs hand in hand. Cause I like good news, but also I like to be informed about stuff.
Okay.
But I think coming in at number two, I forget your first name, but this gentleman right over here.
Pitar.
Pitar.
So number two is the winner of this fine hip flask. Now, if you're a teetotaler like Howard, you could always give this to Anne because you guys had very similar stories with two streaming vendors. Yeah. Feel free. All right. We'll get to it. Congratulations. Very nice. And maybe in the fall we'll do a streaming. We'll invite those guys to come give a talk on how the heck they actually build those monitoring pieces. That would be pretty cool. So let's get them in a meetup here locally because you guys are both local here in the Bay Area, right? Okay, yeah. So let's figure out how to do that because they're well. Oh, wait a minute. You know who's at Amazon? Seth Elliott. Remember Seth?
Yeah.
Let's shout out to Seth Elliott. Start hitting. It's Seth. How the heck do your people do? Mark, I don't even work in that department. Seth, come on, man. They love me. All right. So congratulations.
And now for number one.
Number one.
For the shoes.
Number one,
for a lovely pair of the custom. Nike.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Converse.
I was going to say, they look like Converse.
They are Converse All-Stars, handmade.
Beautiful. Converse is a Nike brand.
Yes, I did not know that.
Yes. Stay for Single Malt Scotch. We'll tell you the whole shoe story between James and I. It's really funny.
Well, coming in at number one with all the good news, which I used to thought was good news and very surprising, was Anne.
Wow. Oh, there we go.
Woo-hoo!
Fantastic. All right, no, that's actually mine, and trust me, you don't have to.
Yeah, so
congratulations, Anne. You're the winner of not my actual shoe.
After the show, come up. We'll get your shoe size and address.
Also, number one, because she said the words "pooty tang."
Pooty tang.
Yes. Thank you for that reminder. Yes, the pooty tang reference definitely
and broadcast it across the entire world on the internet. So you're famous now.
So, Anne, you'll have to get us.
Yes. So, congratulations, Anne. Please come up after. We'll take your mailing address and your shoe size, and we'll make sure everything works out. But that's really wonderful. Thank you. Now, no wild card winners. Tony, you didn't think I couldn't decide. There's one more person. Nothing like that? Just say no. You could say no.
I could be greedy and just nominate myself, but.
Well, so Jimmy's back here, and he says he wants a pair of shoes, but he doesn't do anything.
Do you have a story, Jimmy? Do you have a testimonial or a story?
No.
He is a host. Well, he is a host, you know.
I have other places to be, my friend. No, Jimmy. He's saying in the contract that he sent me that I promised to buy him a pair of shoes. And if you are right, I will personally buy you a pair.
So, James, you know, you're my namesake. Yeah, talk to me later.
Right. No more wild cards there. So,
I think shoes are coming his way.
Yes. We're actually going to give Tony a stopwatch as well. So give Tony a thank you for being the mic. And
hey,
yes, very good. All right, I'm going to start the outro music, and then we have to do our closing. We're ready for our closing here. Like any good podcast, you have closing music. So hang on a second. Let me get my things going here. There it is. That's the outro music. Isn't that nice? Well, Perf Bites listeners, near and far, shout out to Tim, Jean Ann Harrison was actually online with us here, which is, hey, Jean Ann, how things are going well. Tim Western and Scott Moore out there in the web land were really wonderful. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Big shout out from SCVCon. Give you guys a woohoo! Awesome, from lovely, right next to the San Francisco airport. If you ever really love to be lulled to sleep by the sound of jet engines, this is the life. Yes. This day right here at this place, and it's really wonderful. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening to this show and coming to a live podcast, which we do at pretty much every SDP con. So thanks to Peggy and Rick and the SDP crew. Jimmy, actually, thanks for having us here. It's really wonderful, and thanks for supporting what we do. Thanks to our sponsors. We have, Sosta's in the house, which is what their signs right there, which
big
is really cool.
Right,
so thank you guys for that. HPE's around. They're a sponsor of the show sometimes. Our good friend Tim Koopmans is this little itty-bitty company overseas in Australia
Flood.io.
They contribute to supporting the show, so we thank them for their support of the community as well. We're very appreciative of that. And I'll give a shout-out to the sexy Irish voice of Perf Bites, my wife Martha, who is, if you want to see her, she'll be here down here later. I hope she'll be down here later. But thanks, Tony, for filling in Martha's shoes on that. Howard, any thank yous, shout-outs?
I always do my thank yous. As always, thank you to the lovely Mrs. Chorney for letting me come and having all this fun. Thank you to our live audience for joining us today. Thank you all. And, of course, thanks to our listening audience, because this is your show.
It's your show. So this will actually be on our website. It'll be probably on the SDPCon website for a while, for a long, long time. So yeah, your voices will be heard for years to come, as embarrassing as that might be. James.
Well, normally I thank my mother, but she is in Jamaica right now with my stepdad, so they're probably dancing the night away.
Smoking the ganja.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
Mom? Nah, it doesn't fit her. So anyway, I just like to thank the audience. Thank you for your generous comments. I got to call Mom now and see if she's a little up there. But, you know, thank you.
Go Rockies!
Yeah!
Woo!
Go ahead. You have the...
you don't have the write-up, you don't want to wing something?
Come on, I already did
something. Protected.
I already did my thank you. Right. Oh, no, we already know who are
copyrighted and protected thing, right?
Yeah, well, who are we? James?
Yes. Come on. I think we're powered by the force.
Who are we powered by?
Today's show is powered by the Schwartz.
The Schwartz.
Not the force. But the Schwartz.
May the Schwartz be with you. And if you do violate our copyright today, the ghost of John Candy and Mel Brooks will haunt you till the ends of the earth. Haunt you I will, yes. Haunt you I will.
I don't know where you come up with these things. I just
pulled them out of my little mind.
Exactly. For more information about the Perf Bites podcast, visit the show's website at www.perfbites.com or follow us on the Twitter, the Facebook, the Tumblr, and of course you can always subscribe and listen to the show on Perf Bites on iTunes, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, testingpodcast.com. Just open your favorite listening app, search for Perf Bites, and click the subscribe button. Please send us an email with your questions. I don't know if you guys knew you could do that. You can send us an email
ask at perfbites.com,
or you can send it to hey dudes I got a question at perfbites.com or yo at question at perfbites.com.
It will get to us.
That's exactly right. You can leave us a voicemail if you're just not good with the typing. Maybe hit your thumb on something. I was doing load testing manually and I strained my finger. So you can send us a voicemail at 7. I don't know why.
77 load perf.
77 load perf. That's 775-623-7373. And the Sarge says,
and as always, keep those cards, letters, fax, emails, and messages via planes out of SFO coming our way.
Yes.
Yeah.
James, do you want me to do the next one? Or you want
to... you can take it.
I'm going to go for it as well. The Perf Bites show and staff are supporters of the Practical Performance Analyst, the Performance Engineering Book of Knowledge, Test Bash, the Ministry of Testing, the Computer Measurement Group, the Workshop on Performance and Reliability, and of course, the Software Test Professionals Community of Software Testers. And we're so happy to see you here in San Francisco. If you still want to come for day two, it's action-packed. I'm going to be presenting. It's good. And who else is presenting tomorrow? Yes, Paul's going to be. Jimmy, you're not presenting tomorrow. Claire is going to be here. Tony's going to be presenting. This is going to be really good. Hey, the sexy Irish voice of Perf Bites is right back
there
in the back of the room. Is Martha. Thank you very much. So if you feel like coming to STPCon tomorrow, just show up and bring your bring some cash and just give it to Peggy at the front desk, and she'll appreciate that. After this, we're going to do a little podcasting Q&A, and we're actually going to then retire to the end of the hallway next to the spiritually lit tree of single malt scotch down at the end of the hallway, and we'll have some of that. So thank you guys very much for listening. Have a great day tomorrow at the conference, and we'll catch you on the next episode of Perf Bites.
Have a great
evening.
Bye. Bye.